Can you say amen to that? I thought I have a big voice. But my voice sounds like David in front of Goliath. Regardless, we are here to worship God. Did you notice this morning that it is cold outside, but it is warm inside? And it is always warm when you sit in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray that warm our souls before you and glow our lives like the life of Jesus, that in the face of the earth, we will show and reflect the character of Christ. That is what we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in the series of venturing the Adventist faith. And Pastor Will is in Key West, Florida. Pastor Darren is at PUC. Pastor Bennett is just walking around and doing, covering many stuff here in our church. So I was asked to preach this message for us, and may the Spirit of God move our hearts. An adage says, "He who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass." Forgiveness. Is it easy or is it hard to give? What would be the kind of person that you can say, "This man is beyond forgiveness," or "I cannot forgive this man because he did this great thing against me"? There was a man, his name is Albert Horsley. He was a hard man, alias Harry Orchard. He is called AKA the Dynamite Killer. I don't know if you have heard his name before, but he was in the news in the first decade of the 20th century. He is the killer, and he killed 21 men. And in just one event, in just one explosion, he killed at one time 14 miners going out during the night shift. And one of his biggest hit is the governor, Frank Stoltenberg of Idaho. He assassinated the governor. One night, while Stoltenberg was at the hotel, and when Harry Orchard heard that the governor is about to come out of the hotel, he rushed and he quickly got his dynamite and wrapped it with newspaper, and he rushed ahead of the governor and he tied the dynamite in the gate, and as the governor is about to come in, what was heard next moment is a loud explosion, and the governor that was loved, revered by the people of Idaho, was found bloody and died in the cold of the night. That crime was the most sensational, the most covered crime in the first decade of the 20th century. Orchard, later court, he was caught and he admitted the crime. He was tried and convicted and sentenced to die for his deed. And he was put into prison. His sentence is to be hung. But later on, his sentence was commuted to life in prison. Part of this story and what gives light is this woman. This woman, Mrs. Stonenberg, have all the reason to hate this man. And he might be her arch enemy. That he swears in the presence of God that there will be no forgiveness for this man, and this man is beyond reconciliation. But one time, Mrs. Stonenberg sent a package to this convicted criminal. And, you know, how do you feel when your arch enemy or someone that you killed, his wife will come to you and give you what? A gift. It might be a what? A revenge box. And you don't want to open it, right? Explosion could come anytime. And that was in the feeling of Harry Orchard. So he laid aside that box. But with the thought that the wife of the governor that he assassinated gave him a gift is so powerful, one time he decided to what? To open it up. Unfortunately, he don't know how to pray, to give his last prayer. But when he opened the box, he saw the content. He steps to Christ in the prison. I'm holding right now Happiness Digest, which is the new version of Steps to Christ. And this book was so powerful in the life of this man. When he picked up this book, when he saw the name Christ, he came to realize that never in his life that he used that name. And the last time he used it, when he sweared something false and bad against his neighbor. For him, the name of Christ has nothing. For him, the name of Christ cannot change a murderer. But when he opened the book, he saw that what is inside the book, it was a message of God's love and forgiveness. This hardened man's heart was strangely warm. So he began to read the Bible that was given to him by a man. As Orchards read the Bible and thought about the spirit of forgiveness, that widow of the victim has shown to him, and it's so powerful. His heart was softened. Harry discovered in a book that he had ridiculed for years, and this is the Bible. This is the Word of God. He is living in the fast lane. And for him, there is nothing between him and God. For him, life is worth living. Eat and be merry, and tomorrow you will die. But in this book, he found contentment. He found the real meaning of his life. This book, when he ventured to open it, he came across as he looked on the content of the book, and he came to this text, Romans 6, verse 23. Read it with me, please. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He knew that he deserved death. He committed a crime, and he was convicted to death. Now he learned that God wanted to give him eternal life. That in the midst of sin, and looking at the consequence of sin, there is death, but beyond death, there is eternal life. Harry, on death row, realized that everyone on earth are in a death row. Romans 3, verse 23. He came closer and closer and deeper and deeper. And the more he browsed this scripture, the more he looks on this bad news that he thinks it's really bad news. He read this text, "For all have what? Sinned and fall short to the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understand. There is none who seeks after God. There is none who does good. No, not even one." That was a bad news. Is it true? All have sinned and fall short to the glory of God. That was the bad news ever. And if the headlines of the newspapers will flash that one, all people are liable in the eyes, in the presence of God. But as he looks deeper, he looks at this. For the wages of sin is what? Is death. But there is a good news out of the bad news, because Romans 6 verse 23 says, "But the gift of who? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Could it be true? When Harry Orchard read this text, a glimmer of hope began to break through in his face. And further, he searched the Bible, and it gets better and better, because he came across to this text, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should what? Should boast in the presence of God." The bad news now is turning into good news. Don't think that when a person begins to turn to Christ, that it gets easy. Harry Orchard was tortured with the thought that he had gone too far, killing 21 men. His greatest hit of all is the killing of the governor. He said this, "Surely I am beyond God's what? God's forgiveness." Surely he thought, "I am beyond God's forgiveness." I'll not ask a question before this congregation, how many have we killed thus far? Or maybe that question is out of context, because we are what? We are saints, and maybe we are good. But how many of those people we hate throughout our lifetime? Christ said, if we hate someone, we are what? We are liable of what? Of murdering the person. Can you imagine? One time, Mrs. Stonenberg visited Harry Orchard in the prison room. And as she walks and as she talks with this person, it was an incredible news, an incredible presence of a woman who was laid widow and a family that was what? Left by a father because of a murder. With the presence of Mrs. Stonenberg, he came to the conclusion that all he could do was cast himself at the feet of Jesus and ask of forgiveness and eternal life. And later on, Harry Orchard joined the church of Mrs. Stonenberg. He was baptized. He gave himself to Jesus, and he joined the fellowship. And this is one thing that is remarkable. Those people in the prisons who are in a death row, that they refuse the visit of a chaplain, they ask Harry Orchard to visit them and to give them what? The real testimony of his conversion. In the prison, Harry Orchard was their Christ because he lived the life of Christ. There is a soap company advertisement depicted this one. It says, it shows a man looking at his shadow in his pathway. And the soap company says, that's the only thing I can't what? I can't wash out. The shadow. It might be what? It might be a good soap. But that soap could not wash out the shadow of the past. Because it always comes before you in your pathway. But it takes more than a soap to erase and eradicate your bitter and dark past. It takes the grace of God to remove it. And when the grace of God removes it, it will never bother you again. And if you are bothered, my advice is, try the soap. After more than 50 years in prison, he said, iron bars and prison walls have kept my body captive, but my soul has long been what? Been free. I would like to share you a quote. It says, if you are born once, you are born in the devil's family. If you are born twice, you are born in God's family. There is an adage that says, morality may keep you out of the jail, but it takes the blood of Christ to keep you out of the hell. The only solution of human problem is no other than what? It's no other than the grace of God. But friends, this is the thing that we need to admit. This is the reality of life, that we have all what? All sinned. There was a computation that was made. If someone would commit only 3 sins a day, and how many days in a year? 365 days. So how many sins you can commit in each year? 1,095 a year. And 3 sins a day is just, someone told me last night, that is just my minimum. Well, go to your living room, go to your dining room, go outside, drive your car, you know, in the traffic, in the parkway, at your what? At your work. As you relate with people, count them all. Now, 1,095 times your age. That would be the number of your what? That would be the number of your sins. It's quite what? Shocking, right? But we'd like to tell you this good news this morning. It is not a matter of how many times we've sinned. What matters in the eyes of God is we realize that we are all sinners and we need the grace of God. We have this sin problem and we need to seek the help of God. If a person had a terminal disease, the only person that could help him is what? Is the doctor who can diagnose his sin. The Bible tells us, Isaiah 59 verse 2, but your iniquities or sins have separated you from who? From God. God is the source of all life. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they began to die. It was not just Adam and Eve. I would like to share you a quote this morning. In God's eyes, there is no sacred cow or a top dog. We are all filthy rags. We are all under the sentence of death. But the God of love did not tell us the result of sin without giving us hope. There is a good news beyond the bad news. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here is the good news that Harry Orchard found. Salvation is what? It's a gift. We don't deserve it. You can't what? You can't earn it. You know, in our society today and in this nation, there is a saying, and I don't know if you agree. It says, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. We don't steal it. There is no such thing as free lunch, except on the potluck, of course. There is no gain without what? Without pain. When there is no guts, no glory. God helps those who helps themselves. This is the mindset that we have. You need to what? You need to work and for you to what? To earn something. And is there any bad on that? Is there any wrong on that? There's none. But that is how we condition our mind in this society. But God doesn't operate on that way. Don't think that God operates in this way, in the same manner as you receive your paycheck after you work for 2 weeks. He relates to us on the basis of His love and on His what? On His grace. You can what? You can buy it. You can put God under obligation to you by your own good works. Almost every religion outside of true Christianity teaches that man receives forgiveness and eternal life by doing good deeds. In India, long-bearded men clad in scanty loin clothes sit on beds of spikes, believing that by torturing their bodies, they can earn God's favor. They beat and bruise their bodies with whips and what? And chains. Some men walk with what? Barefoot in a white hot coals to earn God's favor or the favor of their deity. While others hung their what? Hung sharp points in their bodies, knowing and seeking the favor of their gods by doing physical abuse in themselves. And if you haven't been in the Philippines yet, some people whip their bodies until blood will come out. And when blood comes out, they earned the merit of God. They earned forgiveness. And some of them, even what? Crucified. These are true pictures all around the world. Men and women are what? Crucified. They think that when they do such thing, they can earn the grace and mercy of God. Buddhists believe that they need to what? They need to build pagodas or feeding holy men for them to earn the mercy of God. It's strange that, as it may seem, many Christians today think the same way. We go to church, we attend church, we give offerings, we follow the golden rule, don't do to others what you don't want others doing to you, thinking they earn favor with God and thus deserve eternal life. But is that impossible? Can man, through some means of physical punishment, mental anguish, or even deeds of kindness, bribe God to grant you the gift of eternal life? Do we earn salvation at all? Like what? Running in the Olympic to have that gold medal. The Bible says, and it is clear, for by grace you have been what? Saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Suppose your employer give you an envelope and said he had a gift for you. I would like to accept that envelope, right? Coming from an employer. Are you happy with that? If someone gives you an envelope and your boss will say to you, this is my what? This is my gift. Now, after opening the envelope, you'll see that it's what? It's a paycheck for the work you have done in the past 2 weeks. What will be the rejoicing turned into? Is it a gift? Did you work something for you to earn it? Surely you do. And that is not what? That is not a gift. You know, God loves us. The Bible says, God is love. And that is the reason He can dispense His grace and He can give His only begotten Son. And old adage says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without what? Without giving. God is love, that is His nature, and because He is love, He gave His only begotten Son to die for us. God loves for man, compels him to give and dispense His grace. A young couple who just had a baby, excited to bring their baby home from the hospital. Within few days, the infant begins to cry day and night. Now, the future to be daddy, don't be scared with this. Babies will cry, for sure, right? And the brand new daddies, don't be concerned about this, as long as grandmothers are at your side. Now, when the baby is crying, they found out that he was in a severe case of colic. Abdominal pain that caused what? Crying. The parents follow the physician's advice, but nothing seems to work. So the daddy, as the daddy, brings the child, crying, baby, and he dances. The dance won't work. And he sings. The song won't work. And he gets the milk, and the milk doesn't work. I would like to ask you one thing. Do you think the daddy will lay the baby on the bed crying? Or will the daddy continue to embrace the baby until the baby stops crying? Do you think the daddy feels the pain of the baby? God is love, and He feels our what? Our suffering. Sometimes our suffering are beyond description. We cannot express in words our sufferings, but God is always there with us. When we walk, He walks with us. When we cry, He cries with us. And this is what He is asking. When He gives grace, He wants us to give grace to your neighbor and to the people around you. That is what God is like. He is what? He is a loving God. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should what? Should come to repentance. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are sinners because we break God's law. That is the reason of all things. We are the breakers of the law. He died, but when we are sinners, He died in our place. Romans 5 verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were what? Were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, who is that one? Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. One time, Paul was in prison in the city of Philippi. And when there was an earthquake, the jailer asked Paul this question, what shall I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be what? You will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Believing. Is that easy or that is hard? I think that is easy. But here, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His what? This life is in His Son. Now, I would like to make this simple and what? And clear. Eternal life is not in you and is not in me. Don't condemn me as what? As erratic here. Eternal life is not in you. It's not in me. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ. And if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have eternal life for sure. Sometimes are worried. Sometimes some people are worried because they think that eternal life is no longer in them. Friends, don't worry that worry. What you worry about is if Jesus Christ is no longer in your life. Because as long as Jesus is in you, eternal life is in you. And if Christ is in you, then people will see Jesus in your life. John 6:40 says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, what? And believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them at the what? At the last days." Do you remember one time Christ said in Matthew 6 verse what? 7 verse 21 rather, "Not all of those who calls to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of what? Heaven. But he who does the will of my Father." Now, Psalm 40 verse 8, that will of the Father is his law. But Jesus Christ says this one, and there is no contradiction between the two. It says, the Father's will. So here is the Father's will. The Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, this is the will of the Father. To look to his Son and believes. The Pharisees of old cannot see Jesus. They cannot look at Jesus. That's why they miss the what? The meaning of salvation. Looking at the Son gives what? Gives life. Paul said this, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." How many times did he use the pronoun I? Three times, I protest. And he said, "I have." But his third I is what? I die daily. Friends, once you are saved, you are not always saved. When you think that you are saved and you are always saved, in reality, you are almost saved. Because Paul said he needs to die daily. Salvation is what? Salvation is every day. John Wesley made this one in his diary when he reached his 72nd birthday. He said, "God be merciful to me, for I am a what? For I am a sinner." Philippians 2 verse 12 and 13 says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." You know, we can see here, Paul said, work out your what? Salvation. He doesn't say, work out for your salvation. He says, work out your salvation. Did you notice that? There is an absence of for. Because the salvation is already with us. And once the salvation is in us, we just need to work out that salvation. You don't work to earn for salvation. Salvation is already in you. Just exercise your salvation by living the life of Christ. Don't work out your salvation or else you will be what? You will be disappointed. Just believe in Jesus Christ and work it out. The tense in Greek is in present active. You need to work it out in present way, daily. And it should be active. It's not in passive voice. It is in the active voice. But don't just believe. Because the Bible says, even what? The devils also believe in what? And tremble. So don't just believe. You know, there is a saying that goes like this. Don't wrestle with a pig. For both of you will be muddy. But only one of you likes it. Don't wrestle with the enemy. Give your fight to the Lord, and He will fight it for you. It's only Jesus Christ who can what? Who can work out His thing. Through Him, there is only what? There is only victory. The Guinness of Book of Records shows this one, that there was a man. His name is Charles Blunden. He crossed the Niagara Falls on a 3-inch rope, 1,100 feet long, 160 feet above the falls, on June 30 of 1859. And when he was at the middle of that rope of Niagara Falls, he ate his lunch at the middle of Niagara Falls. So when he reached the other end, the young man said to him, "Mr. Blunden, why not take someone as you cross back the Niagara Falls?" And then Mr. Blunden said, "Do you think I can do that?" And then the young man said, "Of course you do." And then Mr. Blunden said, "Okay, come and ride with me." And the young man is nowhere found in the crowd. After a year later, Mr. Blunden took his agent and he piggyback crossed the Niagara Falls because he is his agent and he is his client. There was a close connection between the client and the agent. The agent knows the client. The client knows the agent. The same also with God. When we know God and when He knows us, there is what? We can build our trust in Him. Without knowing, that's why Jesus Christ said in John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may what? That they may know you." Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what? And He shall direct your what? Your path." The glory is all God's. It is grace on God's part and faith on man's part. Trusting God completely. So here is the order. I would like to share you this and I will see it. Do you see the flag of U.S.? How many colors does it has? Three. What are the colors? Huh? The only colors? It is what? It is red, white, and blue. Suppose I say blue, white, and red. That is a simple mistake, but that is not supposed to be, right? We describe it in proper sequence, red, white, and blue. The same also with salvation. The method of salvation is this: sacrifice, holiness, and heaven. Sacrifice was made on the cross. Holiness is what I enjoy to work out my salvation. And when I work it out, heaven is for sure for me and for you. God bless you. Let us pray. Loving God, I pray, Lord, that may the life of Jesus be upon each one of us. And as we continue to work out our salvation, help us, Lord. Give us power. Our journey might be long, it might be short, but we are not worried about this journey as long as you are with us. We just need to trust you, Lord. And church, continue to recommit our lives to Jesus Christ, that when He comes, we will be in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.